Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. I did the bell. Well, hello and good evening, everybody. This is David, and here's Jeanette with another Moon Magic conversation tonight. We're talking about this is part two of the conversation that we started last 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago,
4 weeks ago,
4 weeks ago, two shows ago, about oils and herbs and essential oils and using them and crafting them and blending them and mixing them and stuff. So tonight we're going to be talking about tinctures. What are tinctures? How do you use them? How do you make them? Teas. Doing blends of essential oils, like which oils work well together and when you might want to blend oils and that stuff. And how to add to candles and stuff too, how to use essential oils in candles. Because well, Jeanette makes the candles. And has done for many, many years, and adds essential oils to the candles, different oils for different purposes. And you've got a tincture there. Is that tincture going on there of lemon balm?
Right. I just did this. I just started this.
Yeah.
I hadn't. I'll have to back up.
Yeah.
A short time ago, was it a month, month and a half? One of the last times that one of the neighbor kids.
Mowed. Oh yeah, and they took the weed whacker to our little garden, our little flower bed on the front walk. Thinking everything was weeds.
Because, to be fair,
I don't know.
It's mixed in with a lot of other things that are weeds.
Yeah.
Or plants that we really, yeah.
Yeah, there's stuff. It's a little wild.
It is a little wild.
Our front yard is a little wild.
So, which is really cool because when you... You know, as long as it's warm and you haven't completely killed the plant by pulling it out of its roots, it does come back. And so it's not a huge amount, but there is some of that has already started coming back, and it'll continue to regenerate until we get our first frost.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do this time around. And, it, you know, when you let it grow... It does end up flowering as well. So I decided I would just snip some off, and I have it's a jelly jar. They're two jelly jars. They're both the same size. What size is this? Is this
12 ounce or something like that?
Does it say?
I don't know.
Does it say?
Ooh. More than 8 ounces.
No, I thought it was 8.
Cups.
I don't know.
Yeah, there might be 2 cups.
It's a smaller jelly jar. And they're the ones that have, they're both Knorr brand little jelly jars. So I packed it full and added vodka. Just regular vodka. I don't have Everclear in the house. Vodka good vodka has a high enough alcohol content that you can use it. Honestly, Everclear is probably a little bit better, but depending on where you live, you might not be able to get it that easily. If I want Everclear, David will have to drive into D.C., Washington, D.C., the district to get some from a liquor store there because they don't sell it in Virginia.
Nope.
But it'll still tincture. So this one I just started, and what happens is that the alcohol will leach all of the botanicals out of the leaves, including the chlorophyll. So especially for these leaves, because these are broad leaves. They have a little kind of scalloped edge. And in a couple of weeks, I will filter this out with cheesecloth and then pack it with more lemon balm and then top it off with a little more alcohol. And it'll take on a very vivid green color.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the chlorophyll will also leach out of it. So you'll end up with this very vivid green tincture. Now, because it is straight lemon balm, which is an edible, you can make teas out of it, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. Can you add a few drops of this to, let's say, a glass of water? Yes, you can. And if you use edible herbs for your tinctures, you can add them to teas. You can add them to a clear, cool glass of water, usually only a dropper full at a time, and still get the essence. But you do need to be mindful about the fact that some of the herbs that you may want to make tinctures with aren't necessarily ideal for any sort of ingestion. Good examples of this that you don't want to use, and again, this is only if you are using alcohol that is for consumption as the base for your tincture. If you use something like 95% rubbing alcohol, it contains substances that make it poisonous to drink. So you cannot drink that. This is really only if you're using a high-grade vodka or Everclear or some other clear, ideally clear, high-proof, drinking alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key factors. It has to be edible alcohol, you know, not rubbing alcohol or something you get at the pharmacy, you know, buy the bottle for a dollar. So it has to be edible alcohol that you can drink and high volume, high alcohol content. So we're talking at least 80%, would you say?
Yes, at the very least it's got, yeah, and the vodka is probably high enough, although it should ideally be a little bit
more
than that.
Okay, so I mean we're talking high alcohol content. That's where, you know, like 80s, 90s percent kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like you said, we, you know, Virginia is a state where the alcohol sales are run by the state. You know, our alcohol stores, our liquor stores, are owned, operated by the state of Virginia. So like, you cannot buy Everclear in Virginia. They do not allow it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you do have to check with your state on that. And if you go to a liquor store to buy a clear alcohol, be mindful. You can, you know, look on the back. It'll tell you. And so the proof equates to how much alcohol, David? So if it is...
It's twice. So if it's... If it's 80%, it'd be 160 proof.
Okay.
Double.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even if it is 150 or 160 proof, like a lot of vodkas are, pretty high, it still is enough to do a good tincture. Now, I just started this one, and I'm going to be – and the other thing to do is with this is that because alcohol evaporates, you do need to make sure you have a lid that is tight-fitting – and put it in a dark place.
Yeah.
If you leave it out in the sun, it's likely to evaporate. It is a little bit will evaporate anyway, even in a jar. So you keep it in a dark place. Every day or two, shake it up. The other thing that I did, and I started this back on September 6th, I'd never tried this, but I figured I would. I have a lot of herbs and resins. Resins like frankincense, myrrh, copal, they will last years. If you have it in a jar that is away from direct sunlight, what I did a while back is I decorated these big jars that you get, those giant Yankee candles or their competitors that have that heavy glass lid that fits in there. And so I cleaned them out really well and ran them through the dishwasher and then used alcohol inks and other paints and stuff to cover the outside to make them really dark. And I've got frankincense in one. I've got copal in a big empty pill bottle jar that I painted flat black. I put some decorations on it. So what I did is that I loosely ground up the frankincense. I had myrrh in an already powdered form and copal resin. So I ground up the frankincense and copal, not so it was completely powdered, but like smaller pieces, and then I added the vodka, and what I've been doing every other day is
shake it up.
Yeah, shake it up, because it's a resin, and it'll stick to the bottom. So you kind of have to vigorously shake it up every couple of days. And what I noticed,
you have to shake it like a martini.
Oh,
like a drink. Right. Right.
David's been experimenting with bartendering at home.
Right. Pretend it's your favorite cocktail in the shaker and give it some good shake. There you go. To get it all nice and shook up. Okay.
You're funny. What I did, I had not smelled it because I wanted it to be closed for a while before I. Yeah, it does. It's foamy. It's a little foamy on top.
Shook it up really good.
But even after just a couple of weeks, go ahead and take a sniff of that. You can start to smell the smell of the resins coming out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I'm going to let this go a couple more weeks, and right before our next full moon, which is it's 2 weeks from tonight. It's October 1st. I will use it to anoint a bunch of papers. So what are the things that you can do with tinctures? Now, again, being careful about what you are tincturing and the type of liquid you're using, the type of alcohol, what can you do with them? You can use them to anoint candles. You can use them to anoint and consecrate magical tools. The advantage of a tincture is that it's alcohol-based so that it evaporates. So then you don't have an oily residue on your stuff.
Right.
So there is the obvious advantage. The other thing is, and I'm going to, do we have any papers? I do. I've got papers. I always have papers. And I'm going to get something. I'm just going to use a little Q-tip, but you can use like a little paintbrush or whatever. And I am rubbing, I've got this cardstock paper that kind of looks like parchment, but it's not really parchment. And I'm going to rub this all over it. It'll dry. And then you have the essence of frankincense, myrrh, and copal on the paper. It'll dry, and then I can use this for some magical working. I can write a spell. I can write a prayer to deities or ancestors.
Yeah.
I can write a little mantra that I might want to use for some sort of meditative practice. And it'll dry, and the advantage of this is that it dries, the alcohol will dry.
Yeah, the alcohol will evaporate out, and the essence of what you had in it will stay.
Yeah, so that is a really big advantage for using tinctures, is that evaporative effect.
Uh-huh.
And then after you use it, you can, you know, put it in a fire or leave it on your altar or what have you. So the essence of that. Now, why did I choose frankincense, myrrh, and copal? I chose them specifically for their protective and banishing properties. That's exactly why I made this particular blend, because that's what I want to use it for.
Yeah.
So you can do single blends like the lemon balm or some other single herb. And again, if you have any inkling of wanting to use them for ingestion, you would only add a dropper full, no more than probably about 15 to 30 drops total in a small glass of water. Now, that is only one thing that you can do with herbs. Another thing is teas. Now, it's interesting, and this is an old book. This is a Cunningham book, and there have been other authors that also include using teas. And in particular, there's one author, her name is Patricia Telesco.
Mm-hmm.
She has a series of books that are food, I would call them food magic related. And there's a whole book that's dedicated just to doing brews, some that are alcoholic that include other things.
Yeah.
And some that are
not.
That are not. They're,
yeah, she has some non-alcoholic, good section of non-alcoholic drinks in there too.
Yeah. And when you, likewise, when you're using foods and herbs, spices for cooking, if you look in any book like Cunningham or other authors, they usually have the magical uses of a lot of culinary foods thrown in there. Certainly herbs and spices and the non-edible resins. So just like adding that to food, you can make a tea or you can make with a single herb or plant. You can add several together. You can do some that are, I say, for magical purposes. But then there are plenty of plants that are associated with certain times of the year. Like as we're moving into fall, the equinox is coming up this weekend, the actual fall equinox.
Yeah.
So we're moving into the equinox and Samhain and, you know, the hardcore dark time of the year when we're starting to run out of sunlight, it's getting colder, et cetera. So drinks that are spicy are really good at warming you up, but they're also really good for keeping your mood elevated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, they warm the body, but they also warm the soul. And like I said, yes, can you add things to drinks, to brews that are alcoholic? You can, like doing mulled wine or doing things adding, you know, with bourbon or rum or whatever, and that's fine. But you can do things like adding, and you take a little cloth bag. You can find them at a number of different places that tend to sell like organic foods,
yeah,
or, you know, related types of stores. You can find these online too. It's a little cotton simple cotton or muslin or linen bag, and it's got a little cotton drawstring, and these can be rinsed out and reused, by the way, and add, like, whole cloves, a nutmeg, or, you know, freshly ground nutmeg, cinnamon sticks.
Uh-huh. Anybody take it to, like, a mulling pack?
Yeah, like a mulling pouch.
Yeah.
But instead of using alcohol, you can use
cider.
Something like, you can use apple cider. It's one of the best things in the world for that. And you put that in the little baggie and close it off, put it in a pot, simmer it under low heat for about half an hour, and the essence of those spices will come out. Ginger is also another one that you can add. You can add a whole in ginger root, and if you do, be forewarned, it's not spicy per se like cinnamon or cloves or allspice is spicy, but it is...
It's got a warm kick.
Yes, it's very warming. It's very warming to the system. And in most grocery stores, you can find whole ginger root at just about any time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You just peel the outside off and chop it into rough pieces and throw it into your little mulling bag. So, using that as an example, you can use ginger and cinnamon and nutmeg for any workings that revolve around wanting to bring success into your life, prosperity into your life, increase power, maybe physical power, magical power, protection. In particular, cinnamon and nutmeg are also associated with love, so you can use it for those things as well. And they do have physiological healing qualities, but then they also have magical healing qualities.
They do.
Ginger root, for example, love, money, success, and power. I mean, those are the standards. And anything that you want to increase, so because it heats you up.
Yeah.
So that's what you would use that for. Now, if you're going the herb route, one, and Selena Fox has talked about this extensively in her shows, the uses, and there's at least one show, if not more than one, on lemon balm. I think it's arguably one of her more favorite herbs to work with. You can make teas. It might taste a little weird. You can make tea out of lavender flowers. You can make tea definitely out of lemon balm.
Yeah.
You can make teas out of your culinary herbs. It's a little different. You can do things with rosemary. You can do things with rosemary, thyme, or basil. Oregano, again, I'm talking about the common kitchen herbs, but they're certainly not the only ones. Sage, culinary sage, not desert white sage. I suspect that is not edible.
It's a different plant.
It's a different plant altogether.
I don't think they're really even related, really.
No, they're not.
I think we looked it up last time around and found that they're not even really related. They're different species, different... families?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're both, culinary sage and white sage are both called sage, but they're not close to the same, really.
Right.
Even for magical purposes, they have different characteristics for magical work and stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other plants that work really well for medicinal and magical purposes are things that you probably already use are chamomile and your mint. There's a wide variety of different kinds of mints. There's spearmint, there is lemon mint, there is your classic peppermint, there is another mint called corn mint, and they have a wide variety of uses. Besides the obvious physical benefits, now I cannot drink mint. I can't even eat mint candy because it gives me horrible heartburn, which really sucks. But I can use the herb as an essential oil for aromatherapeutic uses, and I've certainly added it to candles. Peppermint is protective for many. It's used to aid in travel spells, so for successful travel, to have protective travel on your adventures. Can be used for healing because it has, because of it is its ability to clear the mind. It is also good for purifying a space. It is good for work involving study. It is a stimulating plant, so it is odd in the Cunningham book that he says it's used for sleep. I think it's too stimulating if you use the tea for sleep before in a sleep mixture. But allegedly, when you smell it, it compels one towards sleep.
This is what again? Mint?
Mint.
See, but that's kind of weird, though, because I've also seen where it's used in, like, mint, essentially mint oils and stuff like that to, as a stimulus to stimulate you when you're, like, you know, to work, when you're, for creativity, to be more creative or be more productive at work or whatever, that mint is stimulating in that way. So I wonder how it works to help you sleep. That must be one of those where it has one one aspect when you smell it versus at a totally different aspect when you ingest it.
Or if it's just the use of it in spell work. And again, Scott Cunningham made these great books, but, and he did a lot of research on the long-term folkloric uses.
Yeah.
However, what we know then is not necessarily what we know now, and especially with the explosion of the use of essential oils in aromatherapy, it, for many, not everybody, but certainly for many people, when you smell peppermint, it does have a purifying effect on the mind. It clears the mind. It is mentally stimulating, and I have always used it personally because of those uses. I've always used it in spell work to, for those kinds of stimulating purposes. I've also used it in healing blends for respiratory stuff. I've made a blend of that and rosemary and eucalyptus and use it to for congestion problems.
Oh, yeah.
So just because a book says it's got these absolute uses does not mean that that is the be-all and end-all of everything in terms of its magical uses.
No, because a part of it, too, comes into how does it work best for you, you know?
Yeah.
That, too, because there are plenty of things that you might look it up, you know, in six different books by six different authors might say that this particular plant is good for this purpose. But when you use it for either a tea or a tincture or in spell work or what have you, you know, it might affect you differently. Your results may differ. Results may differ. As I say on the commercials, you know, individual results may differ. So take that into consideration too. Like these are more, this is guideline kind of stuff. This is the general guideline and a fairly common, you know, standard wisdom kind of a thing. But it may be different for you.
Right, and it's also worth noting that there might be, and there's likely to be overlaps between one author and the next.
One tradition or one practice.
Or one tradition or practice. And a good example has to do with its a particular plant or roots uses in folk magic, or hoodoo, or even the African diaspora magical religious traditions, but it'll have a different purpose and usage if you look up a Euro, look it up in a Eurocentrically based,
yep,
Wiccan or witchcraft type of book. So, and I've noticed that. There are overlaps with some, but not with all. And it's a really interesting thing. And when I've used stuff, I go back and I will kind of review how well I think it worked for me. And I might further refine the use of that thing, that root or that leaf or flower or resin, and refine it to one of a few uses instead of the 18 uses that might be listed in a book.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. So, and so if you want to find out more uses with teas and brews, there is author Trish Telesco. I don't know how many of those books are still in print. You might be able,
yeah,
to find some on Amazon. We do know somebody who, and the book has not come out yet, so I've not seen it. It is available starting October 1st, and that is Amy Blackthorne has a book that's going to be coming out on magical brews of different kinds starting October 1st. You can definitely find it on Amazon. So the author is Amy Blackthorne, and if you look her up, the author in Amazon, and maybe you can do that and get me the title, the exact title of that. Likewise, here's a... Oh, this is a kind of manky. Do I even want to open this? It's like over a year old.
You put something together, put it in a jar, sealed it up.
I know.
And now it looks kind of scary.
It does look kind of... Do I want to...
What is it?
It is...
What is it supposed to be?
It's an ink. It's a magical ink.
Is this the pokeberry?
That's the poke...
The pokeweed? Oh.
Not too bad.
Okay. You didn't, like, spasm when you took a step.
Well, it doesn't look fuzzy on the inside. It's just got...
Do we need to clean up the jar, the outside of the jar?
Well, no, it's the inside.
Oh.
Because it's not, you know, I did not strain it super, super finely.
So there's still pieces of plant in it.
I think so. I mean, that's probably...
Okay. So what happened? What happened was...
What happened was...
What she did was last year...
I don't have a date. Yes,
somehow,
but it was last year.
It was last year. So somehow... Okay, so in our garden, in our yard... in some of our bushes and stuff, these poke weeds, you know, the grow, and P-O-K-E, poke weed. And
not P-O-L-K.
No, not poke, but poke, But so these pokeweeds grow, and they grow up pretty tall, like 7-8 feet tall.
Yeah, that's right.
And they have these seeds, these pods that they grow out, these seed pods that clusters that grow out. And when they all turn dark, like a purple, you can pick them and mash them up and strain them and mix them. Would you mix it with, like, alcohol or something for the ink?
I did.
Yeah, and to make it like ink. And it's been used for inks and dyes. I mean, pokeweed has been used a lot over the past, you know, however long.
Right.
For doing this kind of stuff.
You can use it in bane work.
Yeah.
And yeah. You can also use it for courage, hex breaking. You can definitely use it for curses and banishment.
Right. So it is not edible. It is not.
No.
It is not something you want to ingest. And in fact, as I was cutting down the plants and doing all this and gathering all this up and stuff, it smells. And it stains, and the berries, you know, you make sure you wear, if you harvest this, you know, from the plants, make sure you're wearing clothes that are old and ratty, that you don't care if they get marked up, and wear gloves and stuff, because the berries they stain quite well. It's used as an ink and as a dye, so, you know, if you get it in your on your clothes or whatever, it's going to stain. And if you get it on your hands, it's going to take some effort to get it cleaned off.
It is.
So make sure you wear
gloves. And while you can, and there is something. Right. There is a southern dish. They call it poke salad.
Oh, yeah.
S-A-L-A-T, which is salad. But you can take the young, freshly emerged small poke leaves and.
New.
Yeah, and you can cook them. I mean, you can apparently cook the leaves of others, of, I guess, old, bigger leaves. I've always been really, I mean, it's got vitamins in it, but the idea of doing that even with something that, botanical brews. So Amy Hawthorne's book, which is coming out, and you can pre-order it.
October
5th. Blackthorn's Botanical Brews, Herbal Potions, Magical Teas, and Spirited Libations. So, sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Are we going to have her on the show?
Yes, we are going to have her on the show, our second show of October, which I think is the 15th?
Right.
Okay.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So, what I did when I made this magical ink is that I smooshed up the berries, and I used a strainer to strain out the seeds, so I had just pure liquid. And then I did also add I want to say it was either straight vodka or it was 95% rubbing alcohol to it. And the addition of the alcohol, not only does it make an ink, but it also will preserve the berry juice. Otherwise, this berry juice would have gotten really manky and gross really quickly, because it's an organic substance.
Yep.
If you kept it in there without any anything to preserve it, bad things would have happened.
Ferment and stuff, we'd have like...
Yeah, it would be gross. It would be gross.
Yeah.
So, so what are some other things? Well, we've talked about oils, and you can do oils a few different ways. Although, can you put fresh herbs or dried herbs in oil to steep them for culinary purposes? Yes, you can. And we've done that. We've tried doing that in the past. When I make my oils for magical purposes, number one, unless you're going to use it all the time, do it in a really small batch. Number two, use a very small container, because you'll never need as much as you think volumetrically.
Yeah.
Number three, use an oil that is not likely to go rancid easily, such as olive oil, and yes, I know that makes it thicker, but that is one oil you can use. Or you can do a mix of jojoba and a lighter oil such as almond oil or apricot oil. A lot of times, though, I will, for anointing purposes, I will just use straight jojoba. Why? Because it's not really an oil. It is a wax found in a plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the jojoba plant. It is the vegetable wax of the plant. And it doesn't ever go rancid. And you'll know something, an oil is rancid if you open it up and it just kind of smells like old stale wax. It's got a really stale quality to it. Then you know it's past its prime, and you really shouldn't use it. So what I will do is, if it is an oil that I'm going to use, then I'm going to also anoint on things like you can anoint or dress candles. You can anoint people. You can anoint tools. You can add a little bit to the tip of your fingers and run it around the edge of a paper. So you can use it in that capacity. But really the amount of oil that you need for magical potency really isn't a super high concentration. I would say,
yeah,
no more than a few drops each. If you're using some, if you want to make something aromatherapeutically, that's a completely different thing. But for this, you just don't need, for magical oils, you really only need a few. Now, if you're putting it in a half-ounce bottle is 15 milliliters. The bottle I have in front of me that is empty that I'm going to use is a quarter of an ounce. About 7.4 milliliters. This is enough to last me quite a while. And you can start by adding maybe half full with your carrier oil, that's the term. Add just a few drops of each.
The different oils?
Mm-hmm.
Which one is that? What do you have there?
I have Virginia cedarwood.
Okay.
I've also got some rosemary. I'm going to add just a few drops of that. When you're adding oils, essential oils, to a mix, it is perfectly fine to choose oils based on their scents, so that it's pleasing to you, the person using it. If you are using it also for yourself, You want to make sure that any medications you are taking have no contraindications with the essential oils. And there are a few that can have that effect. So you do want to be mindful of that. So in this blend, I've just added cedar wood, a little bit of thyme, and some rosemary.
Nice.
A nice protective blend. To this, you can add little bits of thyme leaves or little bits of maybe a very small sprig of rosemary.
Uh-huh.
To their magical oils, some people will also add a tiny little stone.
Like a piece of quartz or something?
Yeah, like a little piece of quartz or a little tiny piece of tiger's eye
uh-huh.
or something or other. And you mix it up by rolling it between your fingers once you've closed the lid very well. And now you've got an oil.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Again, if you're using it for aromatherapeutic uses, especially if you're going to be using it on yourself, you don't want more than 2 to 3 drops per oil. Some people are pretty particular about it, and people like to use substances in groups of 3 or 5 or 7 or 9.
Yeah.
I would stick with a few to start. And I would stick with essential oils that are easy for you to buy and that are not that expensive. Again, most of your culinary oils, most of your oils that come from culinary plants or common plants or flowers tend to be less expensive than the more exotic things like jasmine or Bulgarian rose. Those are horribly, horribly cost prohibitive. If you want to use something for healing or love or compassion or one of those things, and you want to add a flower, it's better to do an oil using herbal elements and then maybe add little tiny pieces of dried flower to it. Lavender is not too bad in its price, but it can get up there in their price as well. If it is cheap, it's likely adulterated and synthetic.
Yeah.
Even a 1/2 ounce of lavender essential oil should cost you more than $3 or $4 from, let's say, where are you at?
What's one of our favorites?
Mountain Rose Herbs.
Mountain Rose Herbs. So their lavender essential oil is, for 1/2 ounce of their lavender essential oil, is $13.25. It's $13 for 1/2 ounce. Now, there are others, and I won't name them, because of stuff. Okay, 15 milliliters for $30. Okay, I can buy that. That's probably real stuff.
Yeah.
But then there's somebody else who has 1/2 ounce for $3.
What?
Yes. $15 for 1/2 ounce.
Right.
It was $13 for 1/2 ounce.
Mm-hmm.
It was $30, right? Did I just say for 15 milliliters?
Which is also equivalent to 1/2 ounce.
Right.
Now, here's another website I found just by doing a quick Google stuff. This is where this can get you into trouble. Here's a site that says they say they have lavender pure essential oil, GCMS tested, 1/2 a fluid ounce, 15-milliliter bottle with a dropper for $3.10. This is Lavandula Intermedia is what it says on the bottle. Now, so I would shy away from 1/2 ounce to $3 if I see other quality manufacturers that we actually trust, you know, charging 15 or more for the same quantity.
Right. It's also worth noting.
It could be that the quality of lavender they used to create it, to make it too, that they didn't do that well of it, that it's not as high quality.
Right.
Or that they, the parts of the plant they used or something like that too.
Possibly. Another issue has to do with whether it's organic or not, or if it's from a particular region. French and Bulgarian lavender, I don't say it, is going to cost you some money. It's really high-quality lavender. And, again, I'm just using that as an example. So you really have to do a buyer's beware. Now, there are other good companies. The three that I've used historically are, and this is for herbs as well, Mountain Rose Herbs and Frontier Co-op sell herbs. They also sell stuff for, I mean, their main function is medicinal or personal health, whatever you want to call it.
Air quote, personal health.
Yeah. Herbs and essential oil.
Yep.
They also have, Mountain Rose Herbs also has things, they do sell a few hydrosols, and I'll explain what that is. A hydrosol is the liquid portion that is left over that does contain small amounts of essential oil and other botanicals from the steam distillation process. And there are different types of distillation processes that produce essential oils depending on what it is. There is CO2 extraction, which is a much more modern method. Sometimes you lose the finer qualities of the scent with that distraction method. If it's a citrus oil, essential oil, then it is usually the better way to do it is with something called cold pressing. So they are pressing, literally, using these big, giant mechanical things to literally press the essential oils out of the rind, the peel of citruses, lime, lemon, tangerine or mandarin, and sweet orange. And grapefruit, too. I have a grapefruit essential oil. It's very sunshiny. There are things that you can use to make you happy. And citrus oils are great for improving mood and for just making you feel happier.
Yeah.
Emotionally uplifting. But not everybody sells hydrosols, but Mountain Rose Herbs does. And they also sell hydrosols of rose. And if you want the next best thing to using rose essential oil, which is super, super expensive, you can use rose hydrosol. And the price isn't too terribly bad. So that's where hydrosols come from. And I did buy a little tiny steam distiller.
I got that to you for you as a gift.
I know you did. And
you have a little small one, a little still.
The little baby one. But there's an extra step involved in removing the essential oil, if it's a large volume of essential oil,
yep,
from the liquid distillate. And you can siphon it off of the top of the liquid that is condensed, that separates the plant essential oils from the mixture in the little still. You you can do it for little tiny batches, but there are, you know, sophisticated mechanical methods for large scale. Lastly, I'm going to talk a little bit about adding essential oils to candles. And now, I did briefly mention using tinctures and oil blends in a carrier oil for dressing candles. You can certainly use straight essential oils. Put a few drops on your fingertips and dress and anoint your candles. You want to be mindful about the essential oil that you do that with when you do it undiluted or neat, because that can easily irritate your skin, which is why using oils is better. An oil blend that you've made, certainly safer for the skin. One thing you can do, and I've done this for years, this is why I started doing it, is I wanted candles that had essential oils in them, not just fragrance, not synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a bunch of research on optimal concentrations per pound of wax. You don't have to add a lot. If you want a particularly strong scent, you can, but for magical purposes, for a pound of wax, you can do as little as maybe 30 drops for a three oil blend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe only 30 to 60 drops for per 1 pound of wax. You don't have to go completely crazy. There are other things you can add to waxes. It depends on whether or not it is a plant-based wax like palm wax or soy wax or beeswax. They have much, to start off with, they have much lower melting temperatures and smoke temperatures, and so adding even a small amount of essential oils can alter the way those burn. I use paraffin wax. It is a byproduct of the petroleum industry. It is refined and purified.
Yeah.
You can't smell anything petroleum. And 80% of all the candles that are out there on the market, unless it says it is beeswax or soy wax or palm wax, are paraffin wax candles. The advantages of using paraffin wax over the others is that it has a higher melting point, which also means it has a higher smoke point, which means when you are working with those candles, with that liquid wax, it takes a higher heat and a more sustained heat for it to catch on fire. When you're making candles, there are a lot of steps that you should go through to be safer, like using a double boiler and letting the wax temper a little bit, not having your water bath at a rolling bubble. You can have it at a low simmer and it still melts your wax. And once you take that out and you let the temperature drop a few degrees, and there are lots of books that will tell you how to do this, you can add your essential oil straight to it. The reason why is because, again, paraffin wax tends to be more stable, a little more heat stable.
It is.
You can add, when you cool down the wax a little bit, you add the oils right before you pour the candles at roughly 160 degrees Fahrenheit. 160 to 170, depending on the type of wax. There's wax that you use for mold candles that has a higher melting and pouring point than the wax that you would use for container candles and votives. There's a subtle, there's a little bit of a difference in those blends. So when you use them, and this is what I started to do years ago, there are a couple of additives that you add so that it has a smooth surface, so that it so that the essential oils will mix completely in with the wax. It also does something that allows for even release of the essential oils. The term for this is called scent throw, and that means that you have the same even concentration of oils throughout the candle, and it'll, as the candle melts, those scents will be released evenly, and you can also smell it better. The oil, the candle that I have in front of me, that I had to do some, I had to melt them, remelt some that didn't set up right. The wax, the wicks got weird and wonky, so I just remelted them.
Yeah.
I had them in the big glass 7-day jars. I put them in the double boiler and put it on a low simmer, so all the wax would melt. I put it back into my little metal container with got a little handle on it. I did not add any more essential oils to it. What I did do is I added finely powdered, and I have not burned this candle yet, so I don't know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
I added finely powdered dragon's blood.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to use it. This particular color is like a very dark cranberry-ish red.
It is kind of a cranberry red, a dark cranberry. Yeah.
And like this dark red mauve type color, it's supposed to be good for quick action. This particular candle I can use for courage, for defensive magic, and that's why I also added the
dragon's blood.
Yeah, the powdered dragon's blood to it. I can smell it and already tell because I don't remember, because I do it all the time and I don't always remember what the hell I put in. But this one I know for sure has clove oil. It's got nutmeg oil. Essential oil. It probably has maybe a little. Oh, it has ginger.
Yeah.
In here as well. So it's got these oils that have this protective quality to them. So there's a lot more that we can talk about with just adding essential oils to candles and making them and whatnot. I am going to be teaching a Zoom class. Amongst other things David and I do, is there is a local group of people, other planners, and several years ago we got together and decided to do an event in our area called Hallowed Homecoming Samhain.
Retreat.
It was a magical retreat. We've had a variety of speakers over the years, Selena Fox,
Kirk White,
Evo Dominguez,
Byron Ballard, Amy Blackthorne have been our special guests in the past, yeah.
And so this year, because we can't be in person, because we usually do it at one of these big cabin campgrounds in one of the national parks that's near us, we can't do that, so we're doing a virtual event. And I'm going to be teaching a class on how to make these candles, tips and tricks on how to do it safely, the differences that you see when you use different amounts and concentrations, and also how to use essential oils for making oil blends and dressing candles, adding it to sachets,
right,
and charm bags and other things.
And that will be on Saturday, October 17th at 4 p.m. via Zoom. You would need to pre-register, and we're having this locked down, so that you have to pre-register to attend the workshops. So you can go to our homepage, hallowedhomecoming.com, to see the schedule and the details of stuff that's going on and register there. So, but that's something else that's going on. So that'll be that's all video, a bunch of workshops and stuff happening for that. So she'll be doing one on candle making on October 17th, Saturday at 4 o'clock, following Selena Fox's 12 p.m. Workshop on ancestral portals.
Right. And our special guests are more expensive. Me and all of our local peeps doing classes are $5 each for those.
Yeah.
Our special guests are $20 each. And we have different package sizes where you can...
We have some packages where you can buy some bulk of those and save some money. So.
Right. Or you can, you know, if there's only a few you want to do, then...
a la carte.
You can do the a la carte individual.
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
That is all we've got. It is 9:06
p.m. Eastern
time.
Something time.
Yes. So we need to hit the road, and we'd like to thank everybody for listening now and in the future. So October 1st is our next full moon ritual, and it'll be obviously a Samhain-themed, protection-themed.
That'll be harvest moon.
Yeah. That's when the actual harvest moon is.
Yeah.
For that. So it's a good time to do things involving change.
Yep.
And facilitating change.
Yep.
Stay tuned for other stuff from Selena and others. Selena's got her usual Wednesday night shows.
Yep.
We should also have the Nature Mystic, which are previously recorded shows.
On Sundays.
On Sundays. Got Pagans of the World on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
Lunatic Mondays on Monday. And
Circle Talk.
Circle Talk on every other Tuesday.
First and third Tuesday.
Yeah, first and third. So.
Almost.
If you want to find out more, or if you want to listen to previous episodes, go to Circle Sanctuary's website. It's got the complete listing of what we have going on this month, as well as archived episodes
of the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast programs.
That's right. Also, this Saturday, Circle Sanctuary has their Welcome Fall event. It is going to be a virtual event. You can register on Circle's website, circlesanctuary.org.
Yep. Okay.
All righty. So what do you want to close out with?
How about Greenwood Grove by Dave the Bard?
Okay.
Okay. We'll do that. So... as we close out with Greenwood Grove by Dave the Bard, we wish you all a good night.
Stay safe.
Yes. Wear your mask.
Blessed be.
to the new beginning. The rowing star with magic guarding, all the sight the future showing. Sweet willow sees her moon arising. Ash three realms he is touching. Hawthorn tells us the May is coming. Mighty oak with strength is standing. The holly on his chariot riding. Come follow me, come dance with me. Come with me to the greenwood groves of magic there to see. The lord of the wild with his fairy kin, deep within the greenwood grove, we'll dance the magic ring. Wise Hazel watches salmon feeding. Is ripe, intoxicating. I am the ivy, heed my warning. Yellow broom, I offer healing. Blackthorn sharp for death preparing. The elder is a life of learning. Further distant future showing. Come follow me, come dance with me. Come with me to the greenwood groves of magic there to see. The lord of the wild with his fairy kin, deep within the greenwood grove, we'll dance the magic ring.
Joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.